Comes it, Molyneux, catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
And welcome back to episode 2 of season 2 of The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. My name is Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
And it is 1 week to go, LJ. 1 week until we've got finally got some cricket to be played. We are so excited. It honestly cannot come soon enough.
Yeah, 1 week. This is so exciting. We've waited 6 months for the Aussie girls to be back in action and we're almost there.
We will get there. And on today's show, we've got Stella Campbell, so one of the newcomers into the Aussie squad. So Stella chatted to us from hotel quarantine. She was pretty up and about. And we've also got Smriti Mandana, who is our first Indian guest on the show. So two really good chats and we hope you enjoy them both. LJ, since we last spoke, the Australians and the Indians, of course, they've gotten out of quarantine. Big moment for them. They've finally got some fresh air. I'm sure they're very relieved that they can get out and do some training.
Yep, judging by some of the dancing we saw and Maitland Brown's Instagram stories on Sunday, I think they were pretty up and about to get out and have been reunited with the rest of the squad who flew up to Brisbane from Adelaide and Hobart on Sunday. The team got together, had their first training session on Monday afternoon, and it's all systems go now.
I know. See, it's crazy that team, the Aussie team, they wouldn't have seen each other for about 6 months since they flew out of New Zealand. So it's all happening. We've got two warm-up games in Brisbane this week. Sounds like that'll be a pretty loose setup, but hopefully you'll be able to catch some of the action on cricket.com.au, so stay tuned for that one. We've also got tickets on sale today, so for those fans in Gold Coast and in Mackay, we're expecting some big crowds there, particularly in Mackay, where we've seen some epic scenes for the WBBL in the past. So make sure you head to cricket.com.au/tickets and get around some cricket. And LJ, the other bit of news we had coming through last week was that the WNCL has been postponed, which we did predict, but given the border closures, this just wasn't going to be possible. So we'll be playing that after WBBL.
Yeah, it just makes sense. You've got three teams who can't travel or host matches right now. You're not going to put them through a fortnight of hotel quarantine to play 2 one-dayers each, and it is just the first round of the competition. The rest of it was always going to be played after the WBBL. So as it stands, the WNCL gets underway on December 16 with what would have been round 2 of the season, and there's no confirmation around the rescheduling of the matches that have been pushed back just yet, but I assume we'll find out down the track.
It'll come. That news will come. And, of course, we will be bringing the WNCL action to you as we did last season, whenever that comes through. And over to the WBBL, there was also a bit happening in WBBL land last week. The first thing, which was very exciting, we've now got a WBBL, which is known as the Weber WBBL. So Weber Barbecues have come on board as a new naming rights sponsor. We love seeing brands that back women's sport. LJ, are you in the market for a new barbecue?
Look, I've heard that Weber make really good barbecues. I don't personally have a barbecue right now, so if Weber want to sort a couple of girls out.
We're here. We're waiting in the wings.
They know where to find us.
Yeah. And the other bit of news that came through was the final structure. So still a top four system and there are still three finals, but it's now the top two teams with a major advantage.
Yep, so in the past it's been a 1v4, 2v3, the winners meet in the finals. Now it's the team finishing on top will go straight to the final, which they will host, COVID permitting, which is huge. And then the teams who finish third and fourth play off in the eliminator. The winner of that game will play the second ranked team the next day in the qualifier, with the winner of that game to meet the top highest ranked qualifier in the final. So it's a massive advantage for those teams finishing 1 and 2.
Yeah, it is. And we've seen on social media when the news came out, it did cause a bit of debate. Some fans were really excited to see more reward for the top-ranked teams. Others thought maybe a direct passage in the final was a bit too much of an advantage. LJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can see both sides of the argument. I do think this is an improvement on the past system. It does give a much better reward for finishing in those top two spots. Should make the end of the season really exciting as it could come down to net run rate or anything to decide who does get to host those key finals. I think, you know, in an ideal world, you probably have four finals and have that 1v2 and a slightly longer part to the final. But with the time constraints we've got this season and the time frame the finals have to be played in, I think this is a good look. What do you think?
I like it. I think knowing where that final is going to be played and knowing the top team can host it, I think that's a really good result for fans as well. So the fans, they know where it's going to be played, gives them a week to buy tickets, gives the league a week to pump up the ticket sales, and hopefully we can see a really good crowd for that WBBL final, which is something that we really hope can happen.
Absolutely. And the signing news continues to roll in. It's officially 1 month to go until the first game. So the squads are really taking shape. There was some news from the Brisbane Heat late last week who have confirmed that Amelia Kerr has unfortunately pulled out of the tournament to focus on her mental health and well-being. She had already withdrawn from New Zealand's tour of England that's going on at the moment, but she did say in her statement that she is making good progress, which is really great to hear.
Yeah, that's obviously we're devastated that Mealy won't be in the teal this year. But, yeah, we wish her all the very best and we hopefully see her back with the Brisbane Heat in 2022. But for now, here is Stella Campbell, followed by Smriti Mandana. And we are welcoming Stella Campbell onto The Scoop for the very first time. Stella, thank you so much for joining us from Hotel Quarantine. How's it all going in there? You've been managing to pass the time all right?
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it's been all right in here, actually. The days have gone pretty quick, but, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting out now.
So first of all, we just wanted to hit you up for any recommendations for our listeners of TV shows or books or anything you've been enjoying lately, particularly in your quarantine.
Yeah, Outer Banks is my favourite, all-time favourite TV show.
Really?
But I zoomed through that. I think that only took me probably a week to get through. So I've zoomed through that and I'm on to The Vampire Diaries now, which is a bit of a different one, but it's got, eight seasons. So definitely a lot of time to get through that one.
Outer Banks is a classic. Such a random show, the Pogues and the Kooks. Yeah. I remember watching it and I just could not keep up. I was like, there's so many random storylines, like the treasure. I dropped off, but maybe I'll have to give it another shot.
I've not watched it, so I might have to give it a go.
It's a good one. And Stella, on to the important stuff. So congratulations, firstly, on being called up to the Aussie squad for the first time. Obviously super exciting. So tell us how you found out and what the reaction of your family and friends was like.
Yeah, pretty surreal phone call to get. I think I got the phone call from Sean Flegger. I was on a walk with one of my good friends back home, and I must have missed the call, and I saw his name pop up, missed call, and I sort of thought, oh, what? Why is he ringing me? I don't think there's any reason why he would be ringing me at the moment. I sort of didn't have any sort of idea that this tour was, you know, a thing, and I was going to be in contention, so. He rang me and told me the good news. I think me and my friend just started, you know, both crying at the same time. So it was a pretty nice moment. And to, you know, share it with one of my best friends was, really special. And, my family were just super proud. I think they all started crying as well. Aww. But, mainly happy tears.
Yeah, what were your emotions like in the couple of days after finding out?
Yeah, like I said, it was surreal. It was such a cool news to find out. So, I was obviously overjoyed. I was definitely in shock, I think, for a lot of it. I was like, I didn't sort of comprehend what I was actually doing. But, I was just excited and, really thrilled and keen to be a part of it all.
Yeah, awesome. So let's rewind a little bit. What was Stella Campbell like as a little kid and how did you find your way into cricket? Did you used to play other sports as well?
Yeah. So I grew up playing pretty much every sport that I could. When I was in primary school, I just signed up to every sport because I just loved it. And, you know, it was extra days off school. So, I played every sport and cricket sort of, I think it stood out to me. It was just a bit different to the rest. But I just really enjoyed it. And I'd made some really good friends playing it. So it kind of drew my attention that way. And I just, I really loved it. And I guess, just progressed through the New South Wales pathway to find myself, where I am today.
And a lot's been said about your height. Have you always been a tall kid growing up? And did you always sort of go towards fast bowling because of that?
I think I have always been the taller girl, but I definitely shot up there, I think, for a period of like 12 months. I think I just sprung out of the ground. But yeah, look, I guess it's an advantage, I guess, for a fast bowler. So yeah, I've sort of just taken that with both hands and used it to my advantage, I guess.
Love it. And we saw last week on Instagram, Maitland Brown was sharing a few TikTok duets that you guys have been doing. Can we expect a few more of them over the next couple of weeks?
Yes, I'll say yes.
We're both
pretty addicted to TikTok, I think. That's sort of been another thing that's been good for passing the time. Definitely not the screen time, though. I think that's gone up. But yeah, look, I can safely say there will probably be some more of those in the coming few weeks.
Good to hear. Yeah, Maitland mentioned that you guys have become pretty good mates since she moved over to the Breakers. Do you think it'll be good having someone like her around the Aussie squad as well?
Yeah, Maitland and I have really connected. It feels like I've known her for so much longer than I have. She's one of my really good friends, and I'm super glad that she's here. I think it'll make the tour a lot more enjoyable.
So once you're released from quarantine, you'll finally get to catch up with the whole squad. Is there anyone whose brain you're really looking forward to picking or learning from across the next few weeks?
I've probably always looked up to Meg Lanning. I think when I was sort of a young girl, she was sort of my inspiration, I guess you could say. And the way that she plays cricket is, really, really cool. So I'll definitely, if I have the chance to have a conversation with her and get to know her a bit, that'll be, a really cool opportunity that, I'd be really looking forward to doing.
Awesome. And another person that you've played a bit of cricket with in the last couple of years is Elisa Healy, both at the Sixers and the Breakers. What kind of influence has Midge had on you and your career so far?
Yeah, Midge is awesome. She's such an unreal cricketer. She, she's super talented, but she's also just a really great person, and she loves helping wherever she can. So I think she's been really good for me, just, making me comfortable in a professional environment. But, she likes taking the mickey out of people. So she's good at doing that, which is good. I feel like we're really good mates. And, she's just been an awesome, awesome friend to have.
And have there been any fast bowlers you've looked up to over the years or who you aspire to be like?
Yeah, when I was younger, Mitchell Johnson was sort of the main one that I saw on TV, who I sort of thought I want to be like him. But also, Elise Perry was another one that I really looked up to. I think a lot of people did, she's an awesome cricketer as well. And yeah, just a really cool fast bowler to watch. And when you're younger, everyone wants to be like her. She's such an awesome athlete. She's really cool.
Very good. And looking back to the hub last year, WBBL Village, was a pretty strange time, particularly for you and some of your other year 12 students. What was it like trying to finish year 12 while playing professional cricket?
It was a pretty surreal time. Finishing your HSC in that sort of environment was nothing I really expected. I think it was really cool as well. I think it's really unique experience. Obviously it had its challenges. I think I was able to enjoy the experience of the hub, but also, do really well in my schooling, and I really wanted to do well in that. So I think I was able to, do both and prioritize different things when I had to. So yeah, it was a cool experience. One that I'll never forget, I guess, as I look back on it now.
And your first year out of school now, is it like, did you have plans to go to uni or anything like that that have had to change now because of this tour?
I'm actually doing a course in event management, nice. But it's all online, so it's super flexible. I can sort of just bring it with me if I have my laptop, and I can just do it wherever I am in the world, really. So, that's been good. It's a good outlet, I guess, from cricket as well, to have something on the side.
Very nice. And now, Stella, it's time for our Who's Cooking segment, which is on behalf of Weber Barbecues, which I hope you know is the new naming rights sponsor of the WBBL. So we're going to ask you, Stella, if you can invite three people over to your place for a barbecue, who are you going to pick? It can be anyone, dead or alive, doesn't have to be related to cricket. Anyone.
Okay. I'm going to say probably the Queen of England. She's probably have some royalty in there. I'll say Reuben Garrick from the Manly Sea Eagles, goal kicker. And I'm going to say Marnus Labuschagne.
Nice. What an interesting blend that would be.
It would be a fun barbecue, I think.
The Queen would froth that.
Yeah.
Would you be happy to be on the tools? How do you rate your barbecue skills?
Dad taught me bits and pieces here and there, but look, I can't make any promises that I won't burn the steak or something like that.
It's all right. I reckon Queen Lizzie would be all over that.
Yeah. She can go on the tools.
So finally, we've got just a little bit of a cricket career quiz to test you on your memory over the last few years. No pressure. Some people are really, really good at this stuff and other people forget everything they've ever done. But first, just wondering if you remember who your first WBBL wicket was.
Yes, I do remember that. I can name the ground. That was a really memorable moment for me. Katie Martin, was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
From the Stars, yeah.
Where were you playing?
At the Wacker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nailed it. Very good. And your debut in WBBL 05, can you tell us who it was against?
The Sydney Thunder?
Yep.
Yes.
Correct.
At North Sydney Oval?
Yeah. Bonus points on offer if you can name the other Sixers debutant who debuted alongside you.
Yes, that would have been Maddie Dark.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
And looking back to last WNCL season against Tasmania, you struck a final ball boundary to win the game for the Breakers. Do you remember who was out there in the middle with you for that moment?
In the middle. Oh, this might get me here. Was it Hayley Silverholmes?
Yes. Yes. Very good. Very good.
Three from three. I surprised myself there.
Very impressive. So that's Georgia Redmayne. She got 3 from 3 as well last week. So, okay. Definitely have to make the questions harder.
Yeah.
Well, remember that for next week.
Yeah.
How good. Hey, Stella, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of The Scoop. It was great to chat to you and we wish you all the very best for the upcoming series against India. We hope you have an absolute blast.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're very excited to be welcoming Indian star Smriti Mandhana to the Scoop podcast. We're very pumped because this is the first time we've had an Indian guest on our show. So thank you, Smriti, for joining us. How are you going and how's the quarantine treating you? Nearly ready to be freed?
First of all, thank you for having me. Actually, it's going pretty well. I think jet lag is something which is bothering us. All the girls are still struggling. But other than that, I think just few days more left. So we all are really pumped to get out of this quarantine because 14 days is quite a lot.
Yeah,
it is. It's been a huge sacrifice from you and your teammates to come over here and quarantine for the series ahead. So on behalf of all the Aussie cricket fans, we want to say thank you. Can you tell us a bit about the lead up to getting on the plane and when you found out when you'd be coming to Australia and what you'd be doing here?
Actually, for a few of us, we just arrived in India from the 100. Like, I came back to India in like 5 days before. And I had to actually quarantine in India as well for 7 days before coming here so that we all travel safe. And like, because the girls were already in the bubble, they had a camp for coming here. So we didn't want to spoil it. So we had to quarantine for 7 days. And actually, first we thought that it's a 7-day quarantine in Australia. But I think because of the government laws, it went to 14 days. So we all were really shocked. I think we all have been in COVID at home for like, I think, nearly 7-8 months doing nothing. So we all are really keen to play some cricket. And I think we all are getting used to this quarantine stuff. So we all are really happy to just play cricket, whatever the quarantine period can be.
Yeah, nice. We're so excited that you guys were able to come over here and we're so excited to see some cricket. And you mentioned coming over from the 100. How was that experience for you? Did you enjoy going over there to play in that tournament?
I think it was pretty cool. The concept initially, I felt I didn't know how will it work. It was slightly confusing, but I think it just took a match to start understanding the rules and I actually love the concept because I think it was a good concept for the crowd to come and watch, have a good family time, and I think the matches were great and overall the whole the 100 was, I think it was quite a good thing to be a part of, and it was a good experience.
And before the 100, you and your teammates were part of that multi-format series against England. How did you find that experience?
That was our first multi-format series for us. We've never been part of multi-format series before that, so it was actually very cool because generally you play two matches, and if by chance you lose the first two matches or win the first two matches, mm-hmm. You're like, okay, chalo, the series is in. You're gonna win the series, so you're kind of eased out in the third match. But because of the multi-format, even though we lost the one-day series in T20 series, I think even till the last match we had a chance to tie the series. So these kind of things kind of keeps you going in every game. So I think I really love the multi-format, and especially I think playing a test match for India wearing those whites, I think for that we can just do anything. Like, we all love playing test match.
And that first ODI in Mackay is going to be the first time your team's played Australia since the T20 World Cup final last year. How has your team grown since that match?
I think the team has grown massively. And I think COVID was a big break after the T20 World Cup. So I think a lot of girls have gotten a chance to go back and understand more about their game, understand where they lacked as an individual, and then come back stronger. So I think the whole team has really worked on their fitness, has really worked on their skills in last 1.5 years. Definitely, we are still getting into the rhythm of, you know, playing continuously, mm-hmm. Playing matches continuously, which kind of is a bit difficult because if you're playing after a long gap. Now it's been like a chain, like last 5-6 months we have playing cricket. So I think, yeah, now we are all getting to that match mindset. So yeah, hopefully, the series goes well for the whole team.
Yeah, awesome. And Smriti, you're the only Indian woman who's ever come to Australia and scored a century, and you've also scored the highest T20 international score by an Indian woman in Australia. Do you love playing in Australia?
I didn't know that.
Oh, there you go. That's to you. Do you love playing in Australia, and do you enjoy Australian pitches?
Yeah, I think Australian wickets are like, it has quite a true bounce, and I think everyone loves batting in Australia. I don't know who doesn't like batting in Australia. I don't think anyone will actually end up telling you that, oh, we don't like batting in Australia. As a batter, I think it's you can just get out by your own fault, or you're giving your wicket away. You actually have to you just have to apply your mind to it, because the wicket is always going to be true. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed batting in Australia, and yeah, actually, good to know. Actually, happy to know. I didn't know the facts.
And looking back at the 102 you scored in Hobart in 2016, which I think was your first one-day century, what are your memories of that game, and how special was that?
Oh, it was quite special, yeah. It was my first century, and we lost the match, but I think I was probably 18 or a 19-year-old that time, and it was a very big thing to come to Australia, first of all, like being part of an Indian team, and then of course playing Australia in Australia, like when you are an 18 or a 19-year-old, especially I think the way women's cricket or the world cricket is at the moment, it wasn't the same 7 years back, so it was a huge deal for a 19-year-old to come to Australia and play. And then, yeah, score a century was something which I had not imagined. So I was really happy and pumped at that time. But yeah, I was a little sad that we lost the match. But other than that, I think it was a very memorable.
Yeah, awesome. And Australia and India have played some incredible matches against each other in the last couple of years, thinking about that 2017 World Cup semi-final and, of course, the opening game of the T20 World Cup and the final. What's the rivalry like between Australia and India like these days?
Yeah, I think we've had pretty good matches, especially in the World Cups. And also, I think the Tri-Series also, we had pretty good matches. And also when they had come to India. So yeah, I think we all love playing against Australia because they are one of the best teams in the world, and then and they are quite competitive. So in general, we are like, as a team, we won't really get that. Like, we are always pumped to play international cricket, but when it comes to Australia, you are a bit more pumped because the level of competitive competitiveness Australian team has, then it just, I think it just comes, it just rubs on us, and then we also start being extra competitive. So awesome. Yeah, I think it's been it's always a good thing to play against Australia, and yeah, as I said, we are all looking forward to it.
Amazing. And so you're part of a 22 player squad over here in Australia. Which of your teammates are you expecting to come out and impress in this series?
Well, I think just before the series, by picking names, I really don't want to put pressure to any of the girls. I wouldn't really name anyone, but we have a lot of exciting girls. And there are a few girls who are around 17 and 18. I think you should decode the names who are really exciting, and they are batting really well. So I'm sure they'll be really good for us. And also we have few girls who made their comebacks in England series, and they did pretty well. So yeah, I think we have 4 to 5 girls who I feel would do great and who are a new addition to our team.
Awesome. We're very excited to see. And on the other hand, you've got two of the absolute legends in your team, in Mitali Raj and Julan Goswami. What's it like playing alongside those two?
Yeah, I think as a kid, it was always a dream to play in the same team of Juludi and Mitudi. So, I think to have them around in the dressing room is I think it just gets a lot of calmness into the dressing room, because having someone in the dressing room who's played international cricket, I don't know for how many years, like there's so many years of experience in it. So it just kind of gets a sense of calmness into the whole team. And just to look at them, their work ethics till date is something which all the youngsters take it, and they inspire all of us each day. Just looking at them, we just feel pumped, and we feel that, oh, if they are doing, we need to start working even more hard.
And at the other end of the scale, I guess you're opening alongside one of the most exciting talents, young talents in the world, in Shefali Verma. What's it like batting with her, and how have you seen her develop since making her debut?
Yeah, I think bat along with Shefali, it's quite easy, I guess. You just have to, like in T20s, you just have to actually not think much about the run rate. So that's a blessing when you're batting with her, that you don't really have to bother about the run rate. She'll take care of it. I think she's evolved a lot as a batter, and still she's in that graph of evolving. And yeah, I've seen her, the way she has improved her game. She had a section of shots earlier, and now I see she has just developed a lot more sections of, like, not lot more shots in her book. So I think she's developing. Every time I see her, with some different shot or something different in her batting. So that is something which shows that she wants to improve and wants to learn. So I think it's great to bat with Shefali.
Awesome. We're very excited to see Shefali in action very soon. Now, Smriti, we want to get you to know you and your teammates a little bit better. So we're just going to ask you a few different questions. So the first one is, what is your most played song on your Spotify playlist right now?
Mine. So it's a Bollywood song named Raja. Yeah. I don't think you guys would have heard it. but it just come, like, it's a movie which is newly released in India.
Nice. What's the name of it again? Sorry, just so we can look it up.
It's Ranja, Ranja. So
okay. Ranja, so, yeah. We'll look it up. We'll have a listen.
Yeah. I don't know if you like sad songs. I'm more of like a love or a sad song person.
Yeah, nice.
Because all the people, like English people and Aussie people, always like the Indian music, which is on a faster note. Like they like those party numbers and all.
Yeah,
so
good.
I'm not sure if you guys will like it.
we'll have a listen and let you know.
Yeah.
And what is your most loved sport other than cricket?
I love playing football on FIFA, in real. And I love watching tennis as well. These two sports are something which I'm always in touch with. Like, I keep watching the games.
And who is your cricket hero?
Well, actually, growing up, I haven't watched much of cricket, and I used to always watch my brother bat. So, like, growing up, he was my cricket hero. Later on, I think Sangakkara sir, I watched him a lot. I loved the way he used to bat. So yeah, I would say Sangakkara sir and my brother.
Good. And who is your funniest teammate?
We have a lot of competition for that. Well, I think the current lot, we have Harleen, Jemmy. Of course, Jemmy Ma, everyone knows. She's quite funny. And then I think even Sneha Rana and all. Sneha Rana is also a very, I think these three people are some three people who I would say are quite funny. I don't know if I can actually rate one of them like higher than anyone.
We'll say all of them. And what's the best place that you've ever toured in cricket?
If I say something, someone else will get upset. But I think 2019, we went to New Zealand and I really loved the country there. I'm actually a very lazy person, but in New Zealand, I was going for walks down the river. It was just very beautiful. And along that, of course, you get good wickets and smaller grounds to bat. So that's a bonus, plus a very beautiful country to visit.
Yeah, I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back there next year for the World Cup too. And yeah. Speaking of those sorts of events, what is your ultimate cricket goal you'd like to achieve in your career?
It has to be winning World Cup for India, because we've been so close for last, I think, 3 or 4 major events. We've come to semis, we have come to finals. Really want to be on the other side and, you know, holding that trophy. And just not once, maybe, you know, we can have a team which can repeat that feat again and again for India. So that's the ultimate aim in cricket for me.
Very, very good. Smriti, thank you so much for joining us on the Scoop podcast today from Hotel Quarantine. And thank you again for the sacrifices that you and your teammates have made to come over to Australia and play some cricket. It's going to give everybody a lift watching the series. And yeah, we can't wait to see the cricket. And thank you for joining us.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Scoop. Remember, you can catch up with all the news and highlights via cricket.com.au and the CA Live app. We'll chat to you next week.
Healy's away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title. Magical crowd at the MCG.